away. All right, last time we got together, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In fact, Pastor Keith was telling me he's only on part six on K-Dove. So we're this is number 20, I think, tonight. Is that right? And we're not even finished with chapter five. So we got a little ways to go. But I hope you like this teaching to where we just take our time and get into, you know, some of the important principles of it instead of just running through it. I think it's better for us. All right, the book of Acts, the last time we got together, unity. Did I give you that? Were we talking about unity? Let me make sure. Okay, just want to make sure. Unity is one of the foundations of the kingdom and the lifeline of Christianity. Unity is one of the foundations of the kingdom and the lifeline of Christianity. We got to have unity if we're going to walk together. We got to have unity if we're going to hear from the Father. We got to have unity if we're going to stay in divine health. We got to have unity if we're going to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And unity, I want to add this little thought to that. Unity closes the door of the devil. It closes the door of the devil in your life when you have unity. It's very important. Okay? Without unity, division, confusion, and corruption run rampant, and we forfeit the advancement of the kingdom. Again, so many churches are spending time arguing about church carpet color, the sign outside the building, what the preacher preaches, what his wife wears, so on and so forth. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of the most silliest, I'll just use that word, that sounds nicer. Some of the most silliest things go on in church. And those of you that have been in church administration and leadership like I have over the years, you've just heard some off-the-wall things that just make you want to pull your hair out and say, really? People are dying and going to hell, and we're worried about the type of toilet paper that best suits you. But that's what happens. So without unity, division, confusion, and corruption run rampant, and we forfeit the advancement of the kingdom. We're too busy worrying about that instead of reaching out and winning our community. Unity is order, and order is power. Is that right? Unity is order, and order is power. It's the ability to move forward. Unity is the ability to move forward without the struggle of worrying about who is with you. Wouldn't it be nice in your life, your work, your job, relations, or whatever, you didn't have to worry about the other guy? It's true. We do. We worry about the other guy. We worry about the other gal. We worry about the other person. Are they going to pull their weight? Are they for me? Are they going to stab me in my back? Are they talking against me? And then the enemy whispers, and then you got all this stuff in your brain, when unity just breaks that, and it brings that power to move forward because you're not worrying about, is the guy behind you going to stab you in the back? All right. So when we live up when we line up with the word and the will of the Father, there is no mountain too high, no river too wide that can keep us from hearing, well done, the good and faithful servant, enter in. Okay, so I gave you that, and then unity is the gateway to revival. It's the gateway to revival. God doesn't bless mess. God doesn't bless mess. He will anoint human flesh. He will anoint us. He will bless us even in our struggles and our mess ups, but he doesn't bless mess. He doesn't bless confusion and all that we see in some of these churches. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the Jezebel spirit which brought that judgment had taken place. We saw that. We recognize what happened. And there was the rebellion that was taking place. And then God dealt with it. Unity came in. And then we see that God began to pour out his spirit. Verse 14, we see that revival. And then Peter's shadow. Man, isn't that awesome? You know, again, you don't know and I don't know how many people we've actually touched just by walking by them or shaking their hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to lay hands on somebody. You don't need a band behind you, an anointing oil, and a white suit. All you need is faith in God and lay your hands on them. Sometimes it can be just shaking hands. I've received impartation before just by shaking a man of God's hand before, and I felt it course through my body, and I knew I received something from that man of God. And there's some other stories I'll tell you later. I'll save those for ISM about the impartation and tangible. By the way, I do have an announcement for ISM. It'll be coming up here in the next week or so. All right, so the laying of hands, verse 17. Remember, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducee people, they laid hands on them to promote them. Remember that? Yeah, it took them to jail. All right, Acts, the book of Acts. Let's go on for tonight. So that's just a little refresher just to get us all ready for this here. All right, here's some statements I want you to write down. The mission of the church will never be stopped or forfeited. The mission of the church will never be stopped or forfeited, no matter the opposition or battle. The mission of the church will never be stopped or forfeited, no matter the opposition or battle. His will is going to be accomplished. Now, that sounds very elementary to us starting out, but we're going to see this through the rest of chapter 5. And that also applies to prophetic events. Just because it's the last days does not mean the church is going to end this in defeat. Contrary, we're going to end this in glory. We're going to end this in victory. We're going to end this with a harvest. We're going to be bruised and battered and bloodied from war and battle. But it will never stop us from what God has called the church to do in the last days. That's why, to me, the prophetic message of the hour is more about hope, more about joy, and more about victory than it is about doom and gloom. That's how I view it, because I know the best is yet to come for the church. All right? So just keep that in mind. The first church, watch this. The first church witnessed the hand of God in action. The first church witnessed the hand of God in action because they understood his heart and they knew his mission. Listen to it again. The first church, they witnessed the hand of God in action because they understood his heart and they knew his mission. They understood it. They were acquainted with it. They did not know God in theology. They knew God in reality. There's a big difference. Our schools of theology, these seminaries that are sending out theologians and teachers and preachers and Bible teachers and all that, they're sending them out based in theology instead of the reality of a relationship that's current with God. That's why our churches are messed up. So let me move on. The modern church doesn't see his hand. The modern church doesn't see his hand because they don't know his heart and his mission. The modern church, I'm talking about the pagan church, I'm talking about the lukewarm church, I'm talking about the church down the road that never does anything for God. The modern church doesn't see his hand because they don't know his heart or his mission. I really want to teach all this right now, but it'll come out in the rest of these scriptures here in a minute. But it's the truth. Fearless faith is activated when you know his will and you understand his ways. Fearless faith. We're missing that today in the church. We're missing that in our own personal lives. Fearless faith. It's a faith that has no fear. We're not fearful of anybody. We're not fearful of any organization. We're not fearful of the faces. We're not fearful of persecution. We're not fear of opposition. We're not fearful of persecution of any type. Because number one, we know this mission will not fail. Well, what if something happens to me? Guess what? There's somebody right behind you can hand the baton to. Because on every continent, you don't have to write all this down, I'm just kind of teaching it. But, you know, on every continent, every place, there's a person ready to stand up and take your place. So we should not worry about anything. We should be fearless in our faith. So watch this. Fearless faith is activated when we know his will and we understand his way. Go to Psalms 103. I want you to see this real quick. The Holy Spirit showed this to me today and wanted me to let us look at it together instead of me just reading it, okay? Psalms 103, this is just a little extra good to give to you that kind of explains what I just said there. Fearless faith is activated when we know his will and we understand his ways. Psalms 103:7 says this. He made known his ways, everybody say ways, unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. He made his ways, he made known his ways to Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. What does that mean? It means that God took Moses to the intimate place of planning and showed him and gave him understanding, gave him wisdom, insight, and discernment on why he was doing what he was doing and how he was doing it. All the children of Israel got to see was the boom and the bang. All they got to see was the final product. Well, that's the most people today. All they see is just, you know, something took place in church and they really don't understand what God was up to. God wants us to see his ways. And we should be after the ways of God more than the acts of God. That's why we don't go after spiritual gifts. We go after the Spirit who gives the gifts. I wish that somebody helped me tonight. We don't go after just the signs and wonders and miracles. They actually follow us. We go after the ways of God and how he does it and how he heals cancer and how he delivers people from alcoholism and so on and so forth. Okay? So. Go back to Acts chapter 5. I just want to throw that at you instead of just reading it to you. Let's look at it together. So fearless faith is activated when we know his will and we understand his ways. So if I'm in the inner courts of God and if I'm in the intimate place with God and the secret place of God and he's showing me and you things to come, that makes your faith fearless. That puts you in another dimension with God. That puts you in another realm with him because now you're in the planning room. Now you're in the boardroom. You say, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. It's called the secret place of the Most High, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What do the wings mean? The wings mean the pinion, which gives direction. It's too much to keep on. You get under the pinions, the wings of God, and you get in that secret place as he carries you and takes you places you've never been to before. Hallelujah. All right, Acts chapter 5. So let's prove all this out. Let's teach and let's walk upon that truth. Are you there? Acts chapter 5. Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, now watch, remember they went into the county pokey, right? They went into the county jail. They were promoted. They went from being in the tabernacle or the temple prison or jail cell or holding place. Now they're in the streets, they're preaching, they get in trouble again, and then they're taken into the common jail or the city jail or the main prison in town. And it says an angel of the Lord. Now that's a bad translation really for King James because Luke he's kind of alluding a little bit towards the Old Testament view of the angel of the Lord, but really it should be translated an angel or a messenger of God. Because the angel of the Lord, if you go back to Old Testament standards and descriptions, that would be a Christophany, if you will, a revelation of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't. It was a messenger. That's how it translates. But just so you know, if you try to go back in your mind, you say, well, that's angel of the Lord. That means it was Jesus. It was not Jesus, but it was a messenger, okay? But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison's doors and brought them out. I'm going to tell you something right now. That is absolutely phenomenal. And it tells me and it tells you this, that when we are on a heavenly mission, heaven is with us. If we're out there doing stuff on our own and we're just trying to build a church and we're trying to be fancy in our community and we're just trying to please the board members and stuff like that, heaven's not with us on those things. But when we say, God, we seriously want to see your kingdom advance. We really want to see people born again. Then heaven is with us and then great things begin to happen. That is totally awesome. It also reminds us no jail and no chains can hold us back. Amen. If Jesus is involved, if he's going to make a way, if he's right there, he's going to provide. He is the key. Write that down. Jesus is the key. It might have been an angel, a messenger of God, but we know it was heaven. We know Jesus was the answer. and set them boys free. Amen. So I wrote this down. I want you to write this down. God was at work with the first church. God was at work with the first church because the first church was at work. It's pretty simple. God was at work with the first church because the first church was at work. If we're not having signs and wonders and miracles in our lives and our ministry, if heaven's not opening doors and we're not seeing some activity, I'm not talking about just seeing angels, just seeing the hand of God move, then obviously we're doing something wrong with our work. We're not working the heavenly vision. We're not giving heaven anything to invade and to be a part of. Amen? I want all of heaven helping me. I need all of send a legion of angels, please. I need help. I know some of y'all have it all together, but I need help. Some of my best prayers are, help me, Jesus. ain't too much King James in that, is it? All right? So when you're on a mission, doesn't matter. No matter what you're doing, them Jim Jills and them chains, them obstacles, they don't mean anything because God is with you. So I'm going to explain some more about this in verse 19 because it's very powerful that you need to see. All right. What did he say? He said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now check this out. The angel sets them free. And again, we'll go into description in a minute how he did it. But he sets them free, and here is the very voice of heaven saying, go, stand, and speak. That's the same words that are spoken to us today. Go, stand, and speak. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go to the world. We're supposed to stand up and be bold, and we're supposed to speak. You need to write that down. Go, stand, and speak. Go, stand, and speak. See, the modern church will say, stay, lay, and sleep. Stay, lay, and sleep. That was the modern church. But he said, go stand and speak. I love that because that is the announcement of heaven. And heaven is saying that to us today. Heaven is saying that to Ignited Church. Heaven is saying that to you that are watching and those that are listening. Go stand and speak. Well, what do I say? He said all these words. Circle the word all. All these words. Not your words. Not the words of a denomination or some bishop or some preacher. But say all these words of this life. Isn't that what he said? The full gospel is what he's speaking of. So you want to write down the full gospel, all, the full gospel. Now the word in the Greek for word is rhema. He said, go speak the rhema. What is the rhema word? The rhema word is the voice speaking or the life of the voice. It's the living voice or the living word. It's the spoken word. Okay, I'll give you that that number is 4487, and you want to look it up and just expand your knowledge on that. So he said, go speak the rhema, the living word. You see, it's good for us to learn words of men and scholars and preachers and teachers, but we need living word. We need word that has life in it and that's for today. So he said, speak that living word. And then the word life. He said, the words of this life. So the spoken word or the living word, not the logos. Logos is the written word. The written word has power. But there's difference when it becomes rhema to you. That means, for an example, you ever been in a service and let's just say 2,000 words can be said from the preacher and there's one word hits you like a lightning bolt. You appreciate everything the man said, but that one thing he said, that one scripture threw you back and you caught it. And you're the only one screaming, running around. That became rhema to you. It was all rhema, but that particular rhema word hit you for now. It's a now word to you, okay? So he said all these words of life. The word life there is Zoe. Zoe. Z-O-E. 2222. If you're going to look up in the Strong's. Zoe. Why is that important? Because Zoe represents the life of God or the life of Christ. The Zoe life. The God life. So in essence, here's what he was saying. If you just took it all from the King James and then you broke it down in Greek, he was basically saying, go stand and preach the living word, which is the life of Christ. Go preach the full gospel. Preach that he was raised from the dead. Preach that by his stripes you're made whole. Preach that he's coming back again. Preach that he baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Preach the full counsel of God. How did we get so screwed up in the church? How do we get so messed up in the church? How do we get so twisted in the church to where we have our own agenda and we do what we want to do, we preach what we want to preach, we do everything we want to do our way, and then we don't have the results that they did? We're minus the results of the first church, and that's why we did it our way instead of just doing it God's way. Now, God's way is not always easy, but once you get into the routine of it and you get tuned into God, it does become easier as the days go by. Doesn't the old song say it gets sweeter? It sure does, because to obey is better than to sacrifice. And so, man, that's a very powerful truth. And so he said, go stand and preach the full counsel of the word of God. This is, I want you to write this down somewhere. I got it right here in my notes as a bullet. This is the mandate and mission of the church. This is the mandate and the mission of the church. Everything I just said, go stand and speak the living word of the life of Christ. Either we believe Hebrews 13:8 or not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then preach and live the full counsel. It's pretty simple to me. Okay? All right, so let's move on. So he told them to preach it. Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together. And all the senate of the, excuse me right here, of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to bring them out. Now, here's the thing. The whole senate was there. That was the Sanhedrin. There were 71 of them. You want to write that down? It's important to know. Why is it important to know? Because it wasn't just a few dudes. Just wasn't a few people. The magistrate and a few guards. This was the whole council. These guys were in super duper trouble. This is the same hanging group that put Jesus on the cross. That's not a good day. So they were having their trial. They were getting their trial prepared. They were getting everybody together, but they had no idea they was preaching in the temple. You need to write this down. God is always one step ahead of the devil. God is always one step ahead of the devil, always. Always. That's why you need to be one step ahead of the devil in prayer. That's why you should pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray mysteries. That's why you should call out and say, God, I trust you in my todays, and I trust you in my tomorrows. I trust you because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I've ever asked or think, according to the power that works within me. I trust you, Jesus, because you are the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He knows your tomorrows better than you know your todays. You win. Look at your neighbor and say, I win. There ain't no doubt I'm going to win because God's already there. Isn't that right? So check it out, man. They're getting ready. They're getting ready. They got 71. They got the whole Senate. This was the body of authority, the Sanhedrin. And they were getting ready to deal with them. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and said, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Woo. Now, I've worked in the prison. I said I worked in the prison. Some of you all think I've lived there, but I worked in the prison. We have Brother Mike and Brother Rob that does jail ministry. When them doors shut, they shut. Okay? When I worked as a CEO and a correctional officer, I was deep in the prison. So there were many doors that shut when I was in there. And you sure don't feel like you're going anywhere yourself. You sure hope break time you get to leave. But my point is, these guys were locked in jail. It says that the locks were safety, or there was safety at the doors, meaning this, that none of the locks were broken. None of the men had been manipulated. This was an absolute miracle. The only way I can think that this was two ways it possibly could, and this is nothing to write a book about or start a new church or doctrine over. Possibly he could have blinded them and did the miracle that way, or they were translated. Either way, they was in jail and they wasn't in jail and nobody knew it. That's a powerful thing. What does that tell you and me? It tells me that if we're working for God, God will work for us. God will provide a way. He may not do it that way this time, or he may. I don't know. He may cause that car to slide like it did and only hit just one of Bambi's. Come on now. Just like your nephew or the accident, the grandson. I mean, for all reasons, he should have been dead. But God made a way. We don't understand all these things, but we do know this. If we pray, God will be there. All right. So they went over there. They're not there. They're gone. Okay. Just an amazing thing took place. So that was verse 20, 21 and 22. Well, 22 said, "When the officers came, they found them not in the place, and they returned and saying, the prison truly was found that it was all safety." I gave you all that. Verse 24. "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would go." I'm reading it slow because they were actually so perplexed, is what the Greek means when you study it out. They were perplexed in their mind. They were doubting. They could not understand. How is this possible that first they were secured and now they're out? Now they're preaching again when we threatened them with double threatenings, if you will. We told them we're going to deal with it. And then here they are. They're not in that jail cell. These guys were freaking out. But let me tell you, they were so callous in their hearts that they would not recognize it was God. Because here's the other part of that understanding. When they said, "Where would this grow?" They thought, according to theologians and scholars, their mindset was maybe even the guards were paid off. You see, they couldn't accept this. They couldn't accept the resurrection. They were so hard in their heart. How many of y'all have dealt with Christians like that or religious folks? You show them the power of God and they still don't believe healing is for today. You show them the power of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and they don't believe God speaks today. You know, they're hardened in their denomination. They're hardened in their theology and doctrine. And that's what the Sanhedrins and the Sadducees, man, they were so, so adamant that there's no such thing as resurrection and no power in this particular incident. So they doubted. Here's another word. It means that they were totally at loss. They were totally at loss. Okay? They really did. They thought, man, these guys were going to were paying off these prisoners. Remember, they thought the same thing about Jesus. Where to take his body? Remember that? Remember, they were afraid, and they hired the Romans to watch over the tomb because they said, oh, remember they said they was going to come? And they lied, and they wanted to discredit the resurrection. So they still were doing that, okay? So what's the point for now? Just remember, no matter how much of a miracle may be real to you, there'll always be those who will doubt you. You'll never be able to convert the world. You'll never be able to convert certain people without the power of the Holy Spirit finally reaching them. There's just people in my family and your families and this community here that we're never, ever going to reach them with the truth of this word. They just won't get it. Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. He wasn't talking about financially alone. He's talking about the poor in their mindset, the poor in their attitude towards the richness of God. They just won't receive it. Okay? So verse 25, then came one and said unto them, saying, behold, the man whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. On my notes on verse 25, I put LOL. Laugh out loud. I laugh. These guys you put in prison, they're up there preaching. I don't understand it, boss hog, but they up there in the temple. I love it. I love it, man. Preaching the gospel. Verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. These guys have become so, and I'm going to use the word lightly because I'm just using an illustration for the English language. They became so famous, so popular, so favored with the common folks that the captains, remember before now, when they arrested them before, what did they do to them? They grabbed them violently. They handcuffed them or they restrained them back in that day. But here they would not. It says without violence. They wouldn't touch these guys because they knew something about them was miraculous, but they also feared the people. You see, I believe that when real revival comes, you'll have more people out there in the world for you than you'll have against you. It's the church folk, you better watch your back. You better watch the religious people. The poor guy who was blind, who now sees, he's going to love you. He's going to love the Jesus in you. He's going to love the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is so powerful, and it reaches all parts of society. And if you've ever gone overseas, you know, when they have church services and they have revivals, man, people come from all over the place and they bring the sick and they may not be saved. And they just say, I want to be touched by this God, this Jesus. So what an opportunity. So that was happening. Revival was breaking out. Security pulls up. Here comes the temple cops, you know, the mall cops. And they take him in. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, break this down. They had a miracle. There was a jailbreak somewhere in the city. I think it was the jail. They got free. They're preaching the gospel. People coming from all over the place. The trial's getting ready. They got everybody in their positions. They have their doctrines. They have their false witnesses. They're ready to hammer these guys. They go find them. They're not there. They're out of the prison and they're preaching. They're preaching in such a powerful way that the people look at them like, yeah, go ahead and touch them. You go ahead and touch my pastor. You know, I just met Peter and John, but I like these dudes. Could you see the bikers of the day? Oh, whatever, man. Yeah, the barbarians, man, the Vikings, whoever, you know. Bring it on, bro. They were protecting the man of God, protecting the people of God. So now they say, didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you not to preach? And notice what they say. It's very important you read the Bible the way it is written to understand. He said, this man's blood upon us. They wouldn't even mention his name, Jesus. They knew who it was. because they crucified him. They knew the doctrine that was being preached and filled up all of Jerusalem, which was what? The doctrine of the resurrection of who? Jesus. Then they sit there with their smug religious spirit and they say, basically in essence, we don't want the blood of this man on us. Well, wait a minute, you bunch of liars. Matthew chapter 27, verse 25, you said, let his blood be upon us. Didn't they? They cried it out when they wanted Barabbas. Let his blood be on us. Now, when they recognize and realize they're going to lose their business, they're going to lose the temple, they're going to lose their whole religious mafia operation because of some Holy Ghost-filled men came in town, baptized in the Holy Ghost, they now didn't want anything to do with it. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you something. You challenge your religious spirit, they will run. You challenge a Jezebel spirit, they will run. You challenge somebody who's trying to usurp your authority and try to back you down and tell you you can't preach in that name, you can't do what you're doing in the name of Jesus, don't worry. It first feels bad, but over time, God will be on your side and you'll have the victory. How many of y'all ever faced opposition before? From a church council, from committees, from people. You just stare them down. If you're right, you'll win. If you're right, you'll go through the back door. God will make a way. All right? So the people were there, and they said, and then the Sanhedrin came in, and they said, we don't want this upon us. No, you didn't want to get overthrown. That's what you didn't want, pal. I love to see religious people squirm. I do, because they're holding back the blessings of God. Could you imagine if these guys would have left them alone in Jerusalem? What kind of major outpouring would have continued on? But see, God had a plan, and I'll get into it later on in the teaching, but God had a plan, and he did it his way, okay? And then verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, the word ought, it's kind of, again, it's a bad translation for King James, but that's what it is. It means must. Because sometimes when we hear ought, we say, I ought to go over there. And when we say that in English, it kind of means I should go. I ought to. No, we must obey God rather than man. We absolutely must obey God rather than man. I don't care about the religious spirit. I don't care what you're trying to do to me. I don't care what you're threatening with me. Be with. I am going to stand and declare the truth of the word of God. I want you to write down Hebrews 1:14. That will go for verse 26, talking about the angels. That deals with ministering angels. Please understand this. And one day I will teach on angels should the Lord release me to do that. You and I have angels that surround us. We have ministering, warring, and guardian angels that surround us and help us in the time of need. Amen. We got to activate them and keep them employed. Heavenly Father, delivered your word today. May we go stand and speak this blessed truth of life, this blessed gospel of Jesus Christ, the full counsel. He saves, he heals, he delivers, and he's coming back again. May we be mindful, Father God, to never be afraid of the faces, to never be afraid of the religious people, the Jezebels, and those that would try to stop this blessed gospel. Father, it will never, ever end. This gospel, it will never be delayed. It will never be denied until Jesus comes. And so may we understand that and have fearless faith as we move forward. I ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Hey, I love you. I'll see you Sunday. Be blessed.